It is Friday. So glad to be with you. Hope you're having a great Friday. You're not too stuck in too much traffic headed up north. Just shut up and drive. That's all you can do. I was thinking about our segment yesterday, Dan, as I drove back to the Twin Cities after spending yesterday in Nisswa.
I was going to say.
Nisswa. I turned it into a
you
French,
want to correct you, but, I
mean, a French salad all of a sudden. Nisswa. So on the way back, just I tried to keep it in the right lane, you know?
Attaboy. I was at, I was behind somebody who was doing actually less than the speed limit in the left lane on 394 today.
Mm.
And I almost wanted to flash the lights at him, and I didn't.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
But
don't do that. That's stupid.
Yeah. It is stupid. The slower than the speed limit. Come on. I know it's a limit, but come on. Get the idea. If you missed that segment, by the way, you can hear all of our segments on this show. We time shift everything for you. So you can listen to this show. What I recommend with the air quality and the humidity, you should probably spend the next 2 days in your house just catching up on some of the quality.
Seems perfectly reasonable. Yeah.
Just search DeRussia wherever you get podcasts and you can subscribe and like and all of that. And you can also watch these shows on YouTube. WCCO Radio is the account there. Let's do the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight. We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And the lead story is an update, really, to a segment that we had on Monday. Really kind of questioning why State Senator Nicole Mitchell would need to give 2 weeks notice before stepping down from her position as a state senator after she was convicted of felony burglary and of having the tools of burglary by a jury. And I want to give credit where credit is due. Now, today, and just this afternoon, the now former state senator formally resigned by sending a letter to the governor. She sent a letter to her constituents as well. I will not extend my congratulations to her lawyer, who said the reason she stepped down early was because she finished up all of the work that she thought she was going to need 2 weeks to tackle. Now, I get it. When you're a lawyer, you get paid. You're like, well, already I had to try to come up with some sort of defense for this indefensible act that I think our whole state would have been better off if Nicole Mitchell just said what happened from the beginning, stepped down from her seat. And then I would have been on the air criticizing the cruelty of prosecutors for prosecuting someone for something that clearly was a family tragedy and did not need to be in the criminal justice system. Could have been handled outside of it, in my view. But she brought it to where it ended. And so the jury found her guilty. She will resign her seat. The governor will call a special election. We are sort of specializing in special elections. Some for true tragedies. Sudden deaths. The murder of the former Speaker of the House. And then some for this.
Becoming far too much of a common occurrence in this state, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yep. So Woodbury will have no state senator right now, but they'll call a special election. And we are already seeing some of the jockeying for that seat. Next up in the lead. Well, since we're talking elections, why don't we talk about what's going on in Wisconsin? The governor, because we have many Wisconsin listeners, and also there are some saying, as Wisconsin's governor says, you know, two terms is enough. Governor Tony Evers has decided he would not seek a third term. Evers is 73 years old. He's a little older than Tim Walz, who is also facing this decision. Should I give it another go for a third term. Here is what Tony Evers said when he made the announcement.
Here's the truth, Wisconsin. The only thing I love more than being your governor is being a husband, a dad, and a grandpa. I spent 50 years in public service. I'm damn proud I devoted my entire career and most of my life to working for you. And from Plymouth to Baraboo, Tolma to Oshkosh, Verona to Madison, and everywhere in between, Kathy and my family supported me all the way. Marrying Kathy is the greatest accomplishment of my life because it gave me a lifetime with her, 3 amazing kids, and 9 incredible grandkids. For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe it to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet. There is, as always, much work to do. In Wisconsin, I'll be working just as hard as I have for the last 6 years to keep doing the right thing and deliver for you. So let's get to work. Forward for you and for Wisconsin always. Thank you.
Already, the current Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, is the first Democrat to enter the 2026 governor's race. She has made that move by calling the president, Donald Trump, a, quote, maniac. The Milwaukee County executive is announcing his plans to run for governor. And already a couple of Republicans have said that they are in. So we will see if this is a case where you say Tony Evers is just at a certain age where he's like, I don't want to do 4 more years of this. Or is it just the reality that 2 years is about how much voters want politicians to stay in their seat? Next on the lead is the Smoke Show. The Smoke Show is the main story throughout Minnesota and throughout much of the upper Midwest, really. Smoke from Canada, once again, affecting all of us here. Air quality data that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency just sent me this afternoon shows that today was the 28th air quality alert day issued in the state of Minnesota. In the Twin Cities, we've had 15 alert days this year. This does have us on pace to, it's the odd years. 2021, 2023 were both terrible years for air quality, largely because of wildfires in Canada. To get some insight on this, I asked WCCO-TV and radio chief meteorologist Chris Schaefer to join me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Chris, you know, I woke up this morning on Gull Lake looking out. It was gross. It was disgusting, just like it is, frankly, right here in the Twin Cities.
The big question is, could you see Gull Lake from the beach? I mean, it's so smoky up there.
Yeah. I mean, the sunsets are beautiful, these smoky sunsets. But it is sort of astonishing to think and wonder, is this just going to be part of our Minnesota summer going forward? It didn't used to be like this, at least not this often, was it?
No, you know, and I remember oftentimes looking back when I was a kid, they would throw those summer-like phrases, hot, hazy, and humid. Mm. And perhaps the haziness was somewhat because of that, but we just weren't studying it like we are now. Huh. But there's no doubt it's gotten worse. I mean, a couple of years ago, we called it the summer of smoke. It was so bad where it was like, you know, somebody had a bonfire going 2 feet away from you. And we've certainly had our dances with the smoke again this year. And it's all because of the steering winds. It's kind of sad. If you pull up a map of the current wildfires, I'm happy to say that there's none in Minnesota right now. But you get up into Canada, Manitoba's got a few going. There's a few around Winnipeg. But when you jump over to Saskatchewan and over to Alberta, it looks like you're looking at little plots of cities where the fires are on a map because there's so many of them burning. And once those prevailing winds come from that direction, from the northwest for us, it brings it right over us. And sometimes when it remains elevated, you know, we're showing you on our bump shots on TV a pretty sunset or a pretty sunrise that is orange or red. That's cool. But when it mixes down to the surface, that's when the trouble begins. And that's what you experienced on Gull Lake. That's what we're experiencing right now here in our own backyards in the Twin Cities.
You know, Chris, the science of this is very interesting. And we know, like, as Minnesotans, where we love our forests, we love our natural surroundings, fire is part of nature's way of sort of, you know, keeping the ecosystem in balance and clearing some dead trees to create a new life. It is a natural thing. That said, like, there are ways that the experts are trying to sort of give us a little bit of an upper hand. You can't really beat nature, though, I suppose, at their own game. It's tricky.
Yeah, and it is. If you thought, you know, think about the two wildfires, or at one time three, that were burning in northern Minnesota spring.
Yeah.
How difficult that was to contain. Now talk about all of Canada and all of those northern territories, which, you know, are vastly wooded. It's basically forest up there. That's why we love to go up there. And then, of course, it's dotted with all the Great Lakes for the fishing that people do. It's just too much land to try to contain. If it was a small acreage, maybe you could clear the dead stuff on the bottom, but you can't do that when you're talking about almost all of Canada. It's just too much, and it's so wooded. And climate does play a role in it. If it's getting drier, if the dry season, the non-winter season, is longer, that's more potential. But the other battle is, look, climate change doesn't start the fires. It just makes them harder to contain and become more widespread. The fires are still primarily started by two main sources. It's either lightning from thunderstorms, or it's sadly us, human beings. And it could be a mistake. Maybe a campfire wasn't put out, or sadly it could be arson too. But once they start, they're very hard to contain because it's such a massive amount of land.
I don't like it. Maybe we need like giant fans to blow it back into Canada. Keep your own smoke.
Border fans. That might be the new invention right there.
Somebody can make
it to the north.
That's right. You can make a lot of money off of that. Chris Schaefer, absolutely. Appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
That is the lead. Page two coming up next. We dwell on restaurant closings. We're going to talk about a bunch of openings. Another opening, a Shields. Where's that going to be? And a Minnesota Lynx player who loves her sneakers so much she gets fined for wearing them. That as the D-Rush Hour continues. D-Rush Hour news headlines, page two. I want to start with some good news as it relates to restaurants, because we all dwell about the closings. So let's talk about the opening.
And they're off.
Minnesota Star Tribune and their EAT team with five restaurants about to open. Now, consider that over the last couple of months, there's been Cabana Anna's opening on Lake Minnetonka, North Star Deli in Minneapolis, Boardwalk Kitchen in Shakopee, Shiki at Excelsior, Dark Horse in St. Paul, Liliana in Woodbury. So all over the place, you're getting new spots. Mirabel is a Gesture Concepts restaurant opening in Excelsior on Monday. It's going to be beautiful, kind of a family neighborhood restaurant. Stock and Bond opens next Thursday in downtown Minneapolis in the former bank building. So it's in the Westin Hotel. It's going to be a steakhouse. And, man, people love steakhouses, don't they? Vagabondo will open August 4th. That is the new David Fima restaurant, also in Excelsior. Why is all the action in Excelsior? Maybe because all the money's in Excel, you think? Also, Excelsior sort of shuts down outside of the summer. And so a lot of restaurateurs are trying to figure out, all right, can we make this happening year round? And then at Mystic Lake Hop House, inside the Mystic Lake complex, looks beautiful, this restaurant. So sort of a sports bar with 24 taps. That's enough. I like beer. I don't need 60 taps. You pick. Remember that trend? Ugh, annoying. Shields is opening a second Twin Cities store.
Welcome to a paradise where you come to have fun, learn new things, and buy what you need.
No matter what your passion is, Shields has quality equipment for what you need.
It's going to be in Blaine. This makes so much sense to open this thing up right near the National Sports Center. The news from Bring Me the News. Shields is like, it's amazing. It's like an entertainment center. It's sort of like, what are the outdoor stores that became like such an attraction for people?
Like Bass Pro Shops.
Bass Pro Shop.
Cabela's.
Cabela's is the one that when Cabela's started opening, it was such a big deal. This thing will be near the National Sports Center. It'll have the Ferris wheel. It'll have a candy shop, a 16,000-gallon saltwater aquarium. I think they'll sell stuff, too. Interactive arcade games, a wildlife mountain. I mean, it really is like, it's pretty interesting stuff. So this will be opening in Blaine. And, yeah, this is part of a huge redevelopment. Blaine is trying to create a downtown. A lot of the cities have been doing that. Minnesota Lynx player loves her sneakers so much that she gets fined for wearing them.
Oh, Lester Gribble got it back, put it in. It counts. How about that razzle-dazzle from Courtney Williams?
Courtney Williams, all-star guard for the Minnesota Lynx, part of a story in the New York Times today, talking about Moolah Kicks. This is a relatively new women's basketball shoe company started by Natalie White. So it's a small shoe company only for women. And that was part of the attraction for Courtney Williams. She is paid to endorse the brand. But all the other big shoe brands have deals with the league. So they got to put tape over Courtney's shoe for her to wear it on the court. So they cover up the logo because Nike and everybody else is paying with a deal for the league. I get it. If I were Nike, it's like, what are you paying for? But this does sound like the kind of company that would be a great partner with the WNBA. I'm sure they don't have the dough. It's called business, people. It's an interesting story. Worth a read over the weekend. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. Next, Dan Hayes. It is almost trade deadline time. Are the Twins going to sell? We'll see what Dan has to say coming up. Time to talk Twins. And Dan Hayes with The Athletic joins us at this time every Friday. Dan, it's good to visit with you.
Good to visit with you.
What is your gut right now? Is there going to be a big trade involving the Minnesota Twins? Or is it more likely that they'll do essentially nothing?
I would think that if they do something, it depends on what big represents to you. If big is Joe Ryan, Griffin Jacks, Yoan Duran, I don't think it'll be big. Now, if Willie Castro or, Danny Coulomb, Harrison Bader, if those guys represent big, then maybe they have something big coming. I still think we're, 3, 4, 5 days before anything. I think they will just give this as much time as they can. Because, look, if the Twins trade and they look like they're selling and they're not going to make the playoffs, that would be 4 times in 5 years where the team hasn't made the playoffs. And, the front office, there's going to be potentially new owners in the next 6 months. And if I was in the front office, I want my resume to say made the playoffs twice in 5 years.
Right,
and
right.
So punting on the season isn't the most the best option, I would say. I think they will probably play it as safely as possible, which means take some time. And then even when they do it, they're not going to rip the Band-Aid off and trade the big guys. I mean, maybe they could possibly one of those three. I don't think Joe Ryan's going anywhere. You just have to be overpaid so much and your future guaranteed over and over to make a move like that. Maybe Jax or Duran, potentially, just because they've been good at producing relievers the last couple of years. And, as good as those guys are, maybe you hope that Louis Varland will be ready for a step up, that kind of thing. So I don't know. It's going to be, I think it'll be medium. I think they'll sell.
So Dan, readers of The Athletic, your fine publication, who see Jim Bowden, his article, former GM, baseball GM, who's speculating about trades he'd like to see. And he has Duran and Jax and Castro all going to the Dodgers for a haul of prospects. You're saying maybe don't hold your breath on that one?
look, if the Dodgers were willing to give up Dalton rushing, which they've made very clear that they don't want to give up Dalton rushing, and that's their catching prospect who basically is allowing Will Smith to catch just twice out of every three games and DH the third and keeping him fresh. If the Dodgers were willing to give up Dalton rushing, maybe the Twins would part with one of the guys. But the Dodgers have young prospects. The Twins, to move any of those guys, would basically need to be motivated by having guys come back that can help them immediately this season or next season. The Dodgers just don't have those prospects. They're a bunch of low A's. Yeah, Jim Bowden is it's an entertaining read. Let's just put it that way.
exactly.
It is hilarious to think that the Twins, and I get it, like, the team is not clicking right now. They're not performing the way you want them to perform. So you feel like in a town where our sports teams are never terrible enough to make the obvious move being a total rebuild,
yeah.
I think as fans, we sort of want it, right? It's like, okay, this is another 500 Twins team that if they get into the playoffs are going to get out quickly. So we want something to happen. Logically, though, none of these scenarios to me make any sense. The only thing that really makes sense is maybe a minor, you know, like you said, Willie Castro, somebody who's going to be a free agent next year. But,
yeah.
Like, I just don't see anything really dramatic happening.
Well, I think it's funny. Twins fans experienced the rebuild in 16-17, and the core came up with the Buxton,
yeah.
Sano, Kepler, and they were okay. They've had their moments. Buxton's been great. Sano was an all-star. Kepler had a couple good years and had a consistent career, but you see where that got them. Then they kind of retooled in 18 and traded Dozier and a couple guys, and we're going to let their new core come along, and that's Royce Lewis and Alex Kirilloff, and we've seen how that's gone so far. And I don't know that people have – as much as they say they have an appetite for a rebuild, I don't think they do. You know, prospects – there were – people got the prospect bug in Minnesota about 10 years ago because that group looked amazing. And then you realize prospects only mean – you know, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't guarantee anything. And so starting over from scratch is so hard to do. And I look, this team needs tweaks. I don't think it needs an overhaul. There's a lot of young talent here that's still good. It's just they need to figure out a way to get it to work. It hasn't so far. It's been disappointing. You know, but of course, they have the Nationals here. And if they somehow win two of three, or if they were to sweep the Nationals, which is possible, like you're looking at one game under 500. It's really weird. The third wild card spot has changed the equation so much. It just gives you this sense that you're not quite out of it, even though you're pretty much out of it. You know,
right,
you're going to place
right.
That first team, and that's daunting. So,
well, you wrote about Royce Lewis and how he's sort of found his swing, he's found his rhythm, and now you say, like, all right, if you got Buxton having an all-timer season, if Royce, and as always, this is the if that we all live on
exactly.
Here in Minnesota. But if Royce keeps cooking and Byron keeps cooking, well, you got a couple of injured pitchers. You're like, let's see what happens. I don't know. Like, why would you strip this thing down? It to me, it makes no sense.
Well, think about it this way. They were just under 500 at the All-Star break, and that was with no mediocre to less than mediocre contributions from Royce and Carlos Correa. So, like, when you think about that, basically, if they were that way already and they just get contributions, I mean, you're talking about dynamic offensive players with Royce and Carlos. And if they can play at their normal levels, either one of them, and then the other can just be mediocre instead of way less than mediocre,
yes.
There's reason for optimism. You're going to get Pablo back at some point. Bailey Ober's getting closer. Your bullpen is good. You know, it's so tricky because that third wild card spot, it changes everything. And it's funny, I got some comments in the Royce Lewis story I wrote where it's like, I guess 4 days, you know, how does 4 days mean that you're back? And it's like, wow. I can tell you, having covered this guy, what it's like when the light switch is on and what it's like when the light switch is off. and the light switch is on, and it's believable. Like, and it's real good, because the other day, Tyler Glasnow had only pitched 7 games so far this season, but right-handed batters in the season were 4-for-51 against him with a double and a home run. Royce Lewis homered off him and doubled off him. And I'll tell you what, he is back. You can tell it. He's just one of those guys where when the confidence is really there, he buys into it and there's extra that comes out of him. I don't know what it is. The Twins have been trying to figure it out for a year now, and everybody sees it and they know it's there. And that's just this thing where it's like, damn, should we sell? Do we hold on? Like, because at this point, I don't know, man. It's really hard to see the front office digging deep and selling when, you know, there could be a new owner coming in. So that's just this extra sense of false hope, maybe. But it's something to hang on to.
Do you, Dan Hayes from The Athletic, do you really read the comments or what people put?
Occasionally, yeah, of course. Well, one, it's a good way to interact, and because there are some legit questions in there. I don't always I read the comments there. I don't try to read them on social media.
If you're paying to subscribe to The Athletic, maybe it's a slightly better caliber comment. Is that what you're...
No, it sucks. It's still terrible.
All right.
But we were encouraged for a long time to interact. I think there's been less of a push for that, but they still like it. And hey, if it gets the comments going, why
right.
not?
Right.
Like, we want people to interact. We want people on our stories, and we want them to read them. So, you know, it's great that the comments are at the bottom so that they have to read all the way.
I also read the comments, but I am just an absolute sadist, you know?
I am. No, this is me, too.
Yeah.
And I've had to encourage my dad not to read the comments.
Oh, my mother-in-law, too. I love her so much, but she wants to get in there and defend me.
Oh, like, yeah.
No.
Yes. I just don't want to. He would be fine. He would just go in and do it one day if he did it and then forget that he did it
yes.
and come back and find out, like, a month later that he did it. But I was like, Dad, don't do it. Just I appreciate the I was like, you don't want to wade into those waters, Dad.
No, don't do it. Do you think so? Tonight is the first home game for the Twins since the Coldplay camera swept America, right? So for sure they're gonna do some bit tonight, right? If you
I would be shocked if they didn't.
So so if we had like a prop bet on which bit they're gonna do, do they do the Coldplay cam where everyone has to do the bit, you know, where they go to people and then they're supposed to duck out, or do they do Kiss Cam that has like some sort of TC Bear related?
Yeah, I would go with that. I would go with TC Bear. And you know what? I think one of my friends mentioned it last week. The Phillies really messed up last week. They should have had the Philly Fanatic with Mrs. Met instead of it was the Philly Fanatic and Mrs. Philly Fanatic. But yeah, I think they have to go and lean into it. I mean, you're at the ballpark. You're supposed to have fun. And it's too bad I'm not there tonight, because I would definitely make sure that me and Gleeman were hugging each other.
Oh,
and then,
no doubt. Yeah.
Like, I would definitely do that and try to get that going. And then have Russo in the background looking disapprovingly.
Well, somewhere. Yeah, but shouldn't it be like you and somebody like Bobby Nightingale, somebody from the Star Tribune or something?
I don't want to reveal my true love, you know?
Yeah.
So
I understand that. Yeah.
And plus, he's out on paternity leave.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'm just saying, somebody from a different publication, if you and Gleeman are both working for the same place, that doesn't.
There's so many ways this could go. It'd be just, I'm glad they never turned the camera on the press box.
Wow.
It's just, yeah.
Nobody needs to see that. Nobody
needs to. That's just smart.
Dick Bremer was there, we did. And, you know, we saw how that went with dropped foul balls. And that was just, that was a dark turn in Twins history. When I was presented with TC's glove, that thing reeked.
No good. Dan Hayes, we appreciate it. We may visit with you Tuesday when we're over at the ballpark doing our show.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Dan Hayes, have a great weekend. Thanks, buddy. 5:49 back in just a minute with a goodbye from our friend George Santos.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
All right, the temp of the Twins, as we will lead you up the Twins game right here on CCO. Henry Lake doing a pregame party out at Inbound Brewing. Pregame will be at 6:30, so Henry's out there for a half hour, so go party with Henry. Three-game set with the Nationals. I would say based on the fact that the Twins lost in a fashion that befits this season, so close, but yet so heartbreaking. The temp is cold.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Agreed. It is very chilly. Now, they sweep the Nationals, and by Monday we could be saying, oh, they're great.
They're hot. But we're here to give you the temp right now.
Right now, it's not good.
It's cold.
It's not good.
I'll tell you what's hot, as always, George Santos. George Santos, perhaps the most interesting political figure of the modern time. Right? Like,
Not with the current president around.
Well,
but he's on the list.
The cast of characters. This guy was elected Republican representative, and his like whole bio was made up, right? He is now in federal prison. Fraud charges that got him kicked out of Congress. He is in custody in southern New Jersey. He pled guilty. He's 37 years old. He will start a 7-year sentence. And here was his goodbye. Like, at a certain point, we all need, sometimes you have to say goodbye. On X, well, darlings, the curtain falls, the spotlight dims, and the rhinestones are packed. From the halls of Congress to the chaos of cable news, what a ride it's been. Was it messy? Always glamorous, occasionally honest. I tried, most days. To my supporters, you made this wild political cabaret worth it. To my critics, thanks for the free press. I may be leaving the stage for now, but trust me, legends never truly exit. Forever fabulous.
Hang on, I got to turn the microphone off while I vomit.
Forever fabulously yours, George.
Sounds very penitent.
And there's a photo of him blowing a kiss to the camera. I mean, in 7 years, he's going to be 45. We do live in the strangest times,
yes.
Don't we?
Very interesting times.
Yes. It's all a spectacle to some. Kind of disappointing, actually. Have a great time listening to Henry and a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.